This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
For the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Butzmir Building in Athens.
25-20, 4-time like 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studio in the Butzmir Building in Athens. It's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
On a happy Thursday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the heartbeat of Dog Nation, presented by Wellstar Health System, Georgia Pack and Load, and attorney Ken Nugent. And we soldier on here through the 2020-2021 seasons, trying to fight the pandemic and at the same time get in our sports. And so far so good with basketball, but, you know, still football is trying to land the plane, and we've got one to go. Let's turn our attention to a good friend, Bill Bender. He's the national writer, covers college football for the Sporting News. And Bill, you know, I guess it just wouldn't be fitting to come to the final game, the championship game of the college football season of 2020, actually, and not have a little bit of doubt as to will it or won't it take place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the COVID issues at Ohio State, I mean, this has been the year. Just trying to get through it one day at a time. And I think they're going to play on Monday as of now, but it's literally a day-to-day thing. And hopefully they can get it in with and have a roster that makes it so nobody, you know, you want the integrity of the game to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think of our former athletics director, Greg McGarity, who had the great quote of saying, you know, you're only as good as your Thursday COVID test, which is pretty much right. But Bill Hancock, who is in charge of all this for the College Football Playoff Committee, says it's going to happen. Are you at all, let me say, surprised that Ohio State is in it?
That they made the championship game? No, I mean they're always one of the three best teams in college football, and they proved it against Clemson that they deserve to be there. And they Justin Fields had a magnificent performance. I mean, we can quibble about the number of games and the things that they do there, but I mean, when it comes to most talented rosters, I mean, Ohio State's right there with Alabama and Clemson every year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I totally agree with you there. What I think people might quibble about is that the rules seem to get, I don't want to say broken, but bent, certainly, as the season progressed in favor of Ohio State.
Well, and that's a fair gripe, but you know, the Big Ten did what they had to do to protect their brand. And they made that bed themselves in a lot of ways with starting the season late and all those kind of things and not leaving any flexibility in the schedule. And then and basically everything that the SEC did, the SEC did everything the Big Ten didn't do. I mean, as Gary Stokin told me a couple of weeks ago, the Peach Bowl CEO, it's beyond impressive that the SEC missed just two games this year. Had two games canceled out of the entire season. That's really incredible.
Yeah, we were the victims of one of those. You know, as Georgia lost its opportunity to bid farewell to the seniors when Vanderbilt was unable to play two games, two scheduled games in Athens.
Yeah, and you know that's. But again, I think Ohio State. Yeah, they moved the game around. Yeah, they switched the Big Ten championship game. But if you really want to see Indiana and Northwestern, like if people are honest about it, they know that Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten, and they went out and proved it. And if they beat Clemson and Alabama in consecutive games, there's no doubt. And
yeah, I agree with you there.
There's no doubt about it because those are the other two best teams in the country.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you that is most likely the case. And if Ohio State should be fortunate enough to beat Alabama on Monday night, I think that pretty much puts to bed the question of should they or shouldn't they not have been included. But looking back now over the whole season, what did you learn about this season? I mean, there were some things that obviously made it difficult to take away, huge conclusions from just because of the way the season went, but yet you did see some people step forward like Indiana. You mentioned Indiana. What a great season they had.
Yeah, they were one of the better stories of the season, the way they played. The Michael Penix Jr. from opener against Penn State through what was a really fantastic season, you know, giving Ohio State a fight. It was a fun year. I think at least we had football. We had some good debates. I mean, Cincinnati played Georgia, matched up well, you know, and then we have that 18 playoff debate that still goes on. And, other than that, I mean, pretty much the same old stuff, though. I think one of the problems college football faces is there is this narrative that it's a three-team sport. And right now it is. It's Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and everybody else. Now, Georgia and LSU are right there, and you could argue Oklahoma and Notre Dame are right there, but it's mostly a revolving door of who that fourth team's going to be, and really speaks to how much – think about how much it took for LSU to break that up. You know, a roster with 16 NFL guys and the greatest quarterback season of all time.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Joe Burrow did have that, and they did have – I mean, that roster was loaded, and you saw the effect on LSU this year when they lost all those guys to the NFL, as you point out. Was that a surprise to you how poorly LSU performed this year?
Well, I mean, there were teams that had that happen, and you can't say, you know, it's, in some ways it's okay, that happened, but it's – you know, they can press the reset button. They'll have some coaching changes. They'll lose some guys. I think the team that they showed in the Florida game could be indicative of what we could see from them in the future. And that's the good news, is they do have a lot of young talent through recruiting. But I'm quite sure I've ever seen a swing from how great they were the year before to just a very average team. And it could have been worse. But I think they got it going a little bit at the end of the season, and maybe they can carry that momentum into next year.
Yeah, maybe build off of that. Talking with Bill Benders, the national college football writer for the Sporting News. And, Bill, just give me your appraisal of some of the coaching changes that we have seen already. Who has upgraded?
I think Illinois did. You know, I mean, Brett Bielema didn't have a ton of success in the SEC, but he's back closer to home in the Big Ten with Illinois. He'll be able to recruit some linemen. I think he'll do an all right job there. That's the big one that kind of stood out. But Texas with Sark will be interesting. South Carolina, I think Shane Beamer will do a nice job there. It might take some time, and that's a tough place to, you know, win big. But if he can recruit well in South Carolina and the upper part of Georgia, he may do all right.
What about Auburn? What was your appraisal of that move?
I mean, I don't – it's like – I don't know yet. I mean, it was a curious hire because they, you know, to go from Gus to Brian Harsin. Harsin's had plenty of success at Boise State. It's not like he messed it up, but it's just something that they're going to have to do things a little bit differently. They always do when you're in the same state as Alabama. But, I mean, the key will be recruiting. I mean, I tell people this all the time. You can have a top 10 recruiting class in the country and still have a losing recruiting class in the SEC. Because you'll get five or six teams in the SEC in the top 10. So, I mean, that will be the big battle for him to see if he can maintain that momentum in the SEC West, where LSU, A&M, Alabama, and I would even argue Ole Miss may get it going a little bit with Lane.
And it looks like they did this year. I mean, it looks like Ole Miss did take a step on enough that they've extended his contract.
Yeah, I mean, they've got an offense. I mean, they're going to have to figure it out on the other end, but I mean, he's got the idea. I mean, but that's where the college game is, the offensive talent, scoring a bunch of points. And, you know, I think Lane Kiffin's a really bright offensive mind where they're going to continue to do that.
Bill, before I let you go, let's kind of step back and look at the big picture. Did we learn anything about college football as a whole this year? You know, obviously the way it started with, you know, here in one place early, and then a little bit later in another place and another place, and there were these rules here and these. What I'm getting at is, in your view, do we need somebody to oversee all of the Power Fives? Does there need to be, for lack of a better term, a commissioner of college football?
I think down the road that's a good idea. I mean, the one thing with what COVID did when it disrupted the season, it would have been nice had all the conferences kind of been in lockstep and made a decision. You know, a similar schedule, not disjointed season like we had. It made it really tough this year to cover the sport. And I think one overarching voice over everything will help. It's not going to fix everything, but I think having that sounding board and somebody with some authority to do that would be able to direct those 10 conferences a little bit better, would be able to do what's in the best interest. I mean, a voice like, I mean, he's still coaching, but Nick Saban would be pretty good at that. You know, somebody with that kind of power that can have a voice that the entire sport hears.
If I ask you, who was and I'm not talking about necessarily on the field, but who came out of this entire most unusual season? Who came out really looking good?
I'm
talking about necessarily an individual, but I mean, just was there a team, a conference, a person? Is there somebody that really stands out to you?
Well, I think you're starting to see it up here. I mean, Ryan Day at Ohio State, to be able to manage all those things and get Ohio State through. But I mean, there's people that were criticizing him, and you know, it's tough. I think probably the most normal thing we can happen is Alabama win a national championship, because that's what the sport has done for so many years. And you know, there's a guy that came out pretty good, was Devontae Smith. You know, somebody that decided to come back to school. You know, when Jalen Waddle goes down, he steps up and becomes an unstoppable player in that offense. And I think his Heisman speech the other night was really good. That's who I voted for in the Heisman. And, you know, when somebody that represents that award, I think he's one of those guys.
Well, you know, I voted for Najee Harris.
You weren't wrong.
Well, you know what?
There was no wrong answer.
I'd like to think of it that way. You know, looking back, I may have been – I left Devontae off my ballot. And I had Najee, I had Trevor Lawrence, and my third was Kyle Pitts. You know, I was going by guys that I personally saw during the year, and how I felt they played when I saw them. And that's what I had to do. But there's no doubt that young man, you know, he earned what he got, and he was a sensational player that affected the outcome of so many games for Alabama in a positive way.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I mean, there was no wrong answer with the three Alabama guys, Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts. I mean, all of those guys were really good this season. So, I mean, but the way it works is if Justin Fields goes out and lights up Alabama on Monday night, then people will say he should have won the award despite playing just six games. So, you know, hopefully 2021, we move. I'm working on a ridiculously early top 25 for next year. I hope we get into some more normalcy, have a season, get full stadiums, all those kind of things, but it's still a long way off before we get there.
Bill, before I let you go, final question. Who wins Monday night, and give me a score?
Yeah, I got Alabama winning the game. I think one of the things that the last time these guys played in the Sugar Bowl that you got to look at is they finished 2-13 on third down. And that allowed Ohio State to hang around that game. Ezekiel Elliott went off. They've got a tough challenge, Trey Sermon, Justin Fields. but I think Alabama wins this game 38-35. It's a classic. It's a fun one, and we, you know, it will go into 2021, like I said, with a hopefully a full head of steam and then a better offseason.
That's for sure. And a whole new attitude. I'm with you, my friend. No doubt about it. Bill Bender, the national college football writer for the Sporting News. Always great insight into what's going on in college football. We appreciate his time here this morning on the Bulldog Roundtable. Bill, have a great 2021, and we'll be catching up with you later on in the year.
Hey, no problem. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
All right, and we're going to take a break. We come back. Roddy Nabolsi, the publisher of UGASports.com.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, let's get right to it with our good friend Roddy Nabolsi, the publisher of UGASports.com. And Roddy, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, too. How are you hanging up?
Well, so far so good, hanging in there as we're continuing to fight this pandemic, but it does appear that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that's good. And I was just talking with Bill Bender of the Sporting News about it looks like college football will indeed be able to land the plane, as we like to say, on Monday night and get this season played and in the books and come away with a national champion. And that, of course, is barring some last-minute hiccup in COVID testing before then.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day that, you know, it was as many controversies as we had with the playoffs, what we had with the bowl committee, I mean, the playoff committee picking who they had, arguments about, you know, who deserves the Heisman, all those good things. And I just thought it was fantastic that we were actually arguing about football when back in June and July and August, it was, should there be football? And I'm like, you know, the vitriol and the anger and stuff, if you take a minute and step back, it's like, how great is it that we have this to argue about? So it took a lot of it made New Year's a little bit happier for me when I realized how lucky we were to actually have it. And I know a lot of fans weren't happy with how Georgia's season ended, but I'm like, at one point there's likelihood of us not having a season. So just a fantastic ability to have that. And I commend all the players and the coaches and everything for getting it done.
No question. Absolutely no question. And Bill Bender just pointed out, you know, there were only two games canceled, two games lost in the entire SEC schedule. And, you know, we were the victims of one. But nevertheless, you're right. The fact that we were able to have one, and it does appear that we'll be able to crown a champion, and that is in itself a bit of a miracle. Let me ask you, Roddy, let me turn our attention directly to Georgia and the announcement coming yesterday. It sort of caught me by surprise. I didn't realize they were this far down the road, but what a great pick at the University of Georgia has a new athletics director, and it's Josh Brooks, who was already in place, was running so many of the major projects there in the athletic department.
Yeah, we were told our readers a while back that we expected Josh Brooks to be the guy, simply because, you know, when he started out, going all the way back to director of operations, you know, he was doing the job of like four people. And then, you know, he left and he goes to, you know, Millsaps and ULM, and then he comes back and he moves up the chain. And I've sat down with Josh numerous times. We've done interviews and such. And the way he approaches the University of Georgia from a customer service standpoint. He basically said, when you go to Sanford Stadium, I want it to feel like you're going to a giant Chick-fil-A. You know, I want that customer service to be on the forefront. And, of course, he's all about winning. He's competitive as anything. And he wants the students, you know, the student athletes to succeed. He keeps up with the people who've already been through it. So he's all about educating the students. He's all about winning titles. He's all about customer service and taking care of donors. And I just think that that is the perfect combination for an athletic director, and I'm very excited that he got the job.
Yeah, I'm with you, my friend. He checks all the boxes, and those of us that have had the pleasure of working with him on various projects know how thorough he is. What I love about him is, you know, how he thinks outside the box. He comes up with ideas that you look at and you go, well, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's a great idea. You know, and the reason I don't want to admit is because, well, he's just a lot smarter than you are, Chuck. That's the reason, you know. our congratulations to Josh. Turning our attention to football now, and I don't think it'll have any effect on football. He's got a great relationship with Kirby Smart.
Yeah, he does. I know that a lot of people say, well, you got to find somebody who Kirby Smart will approve of for the athletic director position. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You don't let the employees pick the boss. The boss picks the employees. And Josh Brooks, make no mistake about it, he is the boss. Now, I'm sure they want to say, hey, Kirby, you know, you understand college football. You know, let's get your take on this and see, you know, do you have any inklings, advice, you know, get your commentary. And I know that he has a very good relationship with Josh Brooks. So I'm sure he was like, yeah, that would be fantastic to work with Josh as, you know, effectively the top dog. You know, we always say the head football coach is the top dog, but that's who gets hired by the athletic director. So Kirby Smart knows, you know, has known Josh Brooks for years. He knows what he can do, and there's probably nobody more excited than Butts Mir today than Kirby Smart, knowing that he has Josh Brooks as his new CEO, if you will.
And speaking of the things that Kirby Smart's having to deal with right now, I would assume that first and foremost is roster management. We got the word last night, Tyson Campbell is going into the NFL.
Yeah, Tyson Campbell, you know, that was not unexpected. We've seen him projected as maybe the 21st pick overall. If anybody is a first or second round pick, Kirby Smart usually the one telling them, hey, go to the NFL. I mean, there was no surprise when Azeez Ojulari announced. There was no surprise when Trey Hill announced. Trey Hill was always a three and out guy. He told us that back in high school. Eric Stokes, also a high projected high pick in the NFL draft. So you've had the four underclassmen so far that have gone, and now we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Zamir White. Is he going to go? What's going to happen with Jordan Davis? You know, either, I don't want to say the leader of your defense, because to me that's Richard McCown, but, you know, Richard McCown graduates and moves on. But on that defensive front, and I mean, just the almost literal heart, because he's right there in the middle of the defense, is Jordan Davis. If he decides to come back, which I think he's leaning that way, I'm not saying he is, but if you had Jordan Davis back, and you know, you got James Cook coming back, and of course JT Daniels, and maybe you have some, you pick up some folks in the transfer portal. Yeah, that's all Kirby Smart's doing, is dealing with the roster right now, because that is a big deal. Plus, he's got some new freshmen coming in, so he is basically juggling a lot of different positions.
Do you expect any additions to the signing class in February?
Yes. Maybe, you know, I know they're going after Terry and Arnold. They're going after a couple other guys. But I don't know that it'll be so much signing class spots as it will be transfer portal spots. I mean, every day you look and you see like 20, 30 new people going into the transfer portal. And a lot of those kids have a goodly amount of experience. You know, some of those people, you know, Kirby Smart recruited. It was made official the other day that Arik Gilbert, the fantastic freshman tight end from LSU, is in the portal. So I'm sure Kirby's, you know, he's out there trying to recruit some people, but they definitely want Arik Gilbert. So if you get him, then maybe that takes away a spot from that, first Wednesday in February, that signing class. One of those spots is used up now, because you only have the 85, you still have the 85 limit. Now, granted, your seniors can come back, as we saw with Devontae Smith. That's a big deal that he's coming back. Demetrius Robertson might. You know, some of those guys who are going to take advantage of the fact that this year did not count against their eligibility. But each time you bring in a transfer, that's one less person you can sign. But they're definitely going to add some people to this class. It's just the number. It's, again, it's how many can you fit in there? And that's why I said when Kirby's juggling all these different roster spots, it's He has early enrollees he's trying to get in. He has nine already. They're trying to get four or five more in. So when you see folks hitting the transfer portal, that's some guys that's opening spots for early enrollees.
Is it fair to say that that Kirby's already looking at video of Clemson for that season opener next year in Charlotte?
Absolutely. I mean, and a lot of his roster management is based on that. It's like if you're going, and let's face it, you know, when Mark Richt was fired and they brought Kirby Smart in, the idea was you not only have to have 10-win seasons, you also have to win the SEC East. You have to win the SEC. You have to make the playoffs. You have to win a title. And you have to be on that shelf that Clemson is on, that Alabama is on, that Ohio State is on, that Oklahoma is on. You have to be in that conversation. The way to be in that conversation is to beat those teams. You can't lose to Alabama. You can't lose to Florida. You can't lose teams like that. So Kirby Smart knows that the playoffs for him basically start the first game of next year with Clemson right off the bat. Yeah, they'll be without Trevor Lawrence, but they have a ton of other players. So when he's thinking about it, he has to win right now. And it makes a difference when he's trying to decide, hey, do we take this three-star guy with a ton of potential who will develop in 2 or 3 years? Or do you go all out and try to get an Arik Gilbert who can have an immediate impact? You know, a guy had 35 catches in 8 games. So you go all out to get the Arik Gilberts. You know, he was the number one tight end in the nation. But the point being, you need folks right now when he's doing his roster management who can make an impact. He needs to find a graduate transfer defensive back. Georgia's going to have to replace that three out of the four spots in the secondary. You have some guys who have a lot of experience, but what if you could get a top-notch cornerback who's in the portal? So that's what he's looking for.
Well, isn't it amazing that we have gone from – we used to talk about all the high school kids and the recruiting, and now it's who's in the portal, and, you know, and how good are they, and would Georgia be a good landing spot for them? And we always think that that's the case. Roddy, before I let you go, and talking with Roddy Nivalsi, the publisher of UGASports.com, give me your pick for Monday night.
Monday night, give me Alabama 38-28 over Ohio State.
You got it within 10, too. Huh?
I think, yeah, I mean, I will never bet against Justin Fields. Big fan of his. I love the kid. I've covered him for many, many years. I think he's just an absolute difference maker. But then when you look at the, you know, we also covered Devontae Smith and Najee Harris. And I remember seeing grown men ask Najee Harris for an autograph back at one of the camps. I mean, it's just two power offenses going at each other. And so I definitely expect but then at that point, we all start expecting, you know, a 45-51 game. But when these defenses hear for a week about how bad they are, they tend to step up. So give me 38-28 Alabama.
All right. Roddy, thank you so much. Appreciate your time this morning. Roddy Nivalsi, the publisher of UGASports.com, here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
This is Greg McGeary, the Director of Athletics here at UGA, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan and 93.7 FM.
Well, our retired Athletics Director, Greg McGeary, rejoining us there, but we appreciate it anyway. Real quickly, Georgia's men's basketball team, a heartbreaking overtime loss in Baton Rouge last night to a very talented LSU team, 94-92. Dogs come up just short and now go back on the road on Saturday in Fayetteville, Arkansas, to take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. The Dogs are 7-2 overall now as they get set to take on Arkansas. And our women's team in action tonight at South Carolina. So good luck to Coach Joni Taylor and the squad as they take on a terrifically talented Gamecock team. And to all of you in the Bulldog Nation, thanks for being with us. Stay tuned for Home Team in Hamilton. They're next here on 680 The Fan, and have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.